everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
The last time two teams, 20 games over 500, met before January 1st. Anybody know the answer to that? I'll give points.
No idea. 1953.
That's not even close. 1980 Celtics Suns. I heard it, Jackie. Tonight's game and also Ronaldo's flight pattern here. Woo! I heard it, Jackie. I heard it.
I didn't want to do that.
Celtics and Suns. They didn't meet in the NBA Finals. That's important to know. These Lakers and these Bucks are both 24-4 coming into this game. That's historic. That they're both coming off a loss is kind of interesting and inciting. And then here's LeBron's promotion of the game. I'm 17 years in. Regular season games like that, two teams trying to get better. Nah, doesn't feel special. Alright, LeBron, help us out here, please. Jackie, I'm going to start with you since you got our trivia question right. What's on the line tonight? What are you looking forward to seeing? And what can you possibly learn from a December game?
Oh, I think you can learn a lot from a December game. I want to see particularly how Giannis responds to this game. Right now, Giannis is the best player in the NBA, and LeBron is a whisker behind him. They're the two leading MVP candidates, and these two teams are the two teams that are playing the best in the league right now. We already know LeBron's complete story. Giannis is still unfolding in front of us. So I'm interested to see how he reacts in a game of this magnitude tonight against a player that can say all he wants about, nah, nothing special. You don't think doesn't want to get the upper hand on Giannis?
I think so. Clinton Yates, what can you learn tonight? What are you watching for? Give me it all.
I think what we're going to learn tonight is whether or not Anthony Davis is the real deal in terms of how he's working with the Lakers. This guy, to me, is the defensive player of the year so far. And how he matches up against Giannis is going to be a major factor in all of this. Because, look, Dwight Howard being there is useful not just for buckets, but for fouls. And that's sometimes how you got to deal with Giannis in terms of bodying him up. I really think this is going to be a fun matchup from a big man.
Israel Gutierrez, one thing you're watching for tonight?
Well, hopefully Anthony Davis looks like regular Anthony Davis. He obviously missed a game with an ankle injury and is technically listed as questionable, but I'm looking for a lot of the Giannis angle too, because it's essentially two superstars versus one. No disrespect to Chris Middleton. You know, the Bucks haven't really been challenged
down
the stretch. What's it going to look like against that length and that defense of the Lakers when Antetokounmpo is the obvious target and things have slowed down, or the obvious offensive focal point? And things have slowed down. We've seen, you know, those last couple games against Toronto in the playoffs, in the 90s points-wise. We've seen when things slow down, Giannis can be defended some. So I'd like to see that, especially against this length of the
league. And Woody Page, one thing you're watching for tonight?
Whether or not Milwaukee, as Israel pointed out, can do with one man what the Lakers are doing with two. And this game, I think, will decide the Bucks going forward, playing them with the possibility 29.1% chance of these two teams meeting in the finals. Do the Bucks need another superstar? Should they go get a Kevin Love? Should they go get Iguodala to actually help this team? Should they go out and find another shooter? That's what I'm going to look for tonight. That are they just dominated by those two big guys in terms of Davis and LeBron James? And I want to see also, I know you didn't ask this, but I want to see who's going to guard Giannis. Is it going to be Anthony Davis, or does LeBron and go, give him to me.
Right. So I think those are good questions, Woody. Yeah. And who is Giannis going to be guarding? Primarily LeBron or Anthony Davis? Clinton, you wanted to respond to something Woody said. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think the Bucks need anybody new. They just need Brook Lopez to become Brook Lopez. He's shooting less than 30% from three in the field. This dude hasn't scored in double digits in a month. This dude can play, and he's a part of their offense that is not there right now. If he improves the Bucks.
Israel, can you address Woody's desire for Milwaukee to make a move?
Well, it's the way they're winning, you wouldn't expect them to say they need to make a move, right? Because they're doing it defensively, the best defense in the league. Brook Lopez has been great in that respect. It's just, if you're talking about guys' shooting numbers sort of rising up and getting back to normal, that's probably going to happen anyway. This team could look even scarier than that. So I don't think they're going to say, hey, this year we need to find somebody for Antetokounmpo to pair beside. I think they think that they have.
Jackie, can I ask you the matchups question that Woody raised? Giannis on LeBron. LeBron, Giannis on Anthony Davis, Davis on Giannis. Well, what are we looking for today?
Right.
What's the best play?
I honestly think that Giannis will end up on both of them at one point or another.
At the same time.
Very versatile.
That's how good he is, yes.
Not at the same time.
Huge wingspan.
And Clinton, I might push back a little bit on your vote for Defensive Player of the Year. I think Antetokounmpo might have something a little bit to say about that, too, since he's anchoring the number one defense in the league. I mean, they're number one and two in defense and offense. So if they add something, it'll be like they did last year, late in the year, like a guy like Mirotić or someone like that who you buy out at the end of the year and you fortify. Mm-hmm.
I really want to hear who you got tonight because I think it does matter because it's just something that's going to be, you know, in some way prognosticative of what's going to happen maybe later in the year. Just in a little window to that. But also, Woody, you brought up the basketball power index, 29%. That's what the algorithm says. I want to know on your own power ranking, Woody, chances this is the NBA Finals.
I think it's 50-50 more so than 29.1. I think Milwaukee's going to get there without a doubt because they are going to make a move, and I think it'll either be the Clippers or the Lakers, 50-50.
Israel?
Yeah, I mean, same thing. It's Milwaukee's currently the front runner in the Eastern Conference. You could say with more certainty they should get there. The Lakers, I'm with Woody there. It's either them or the Clippers.
I think if the Bucks don't get to the finals, this season is a disappointment, and that is something we are not used to saying about that team. Mm-hmm.
Jackie.
That's why they get a superstar.
I'm just not 100% convinced that we're going to eliminate the Sixers or even, for that matter, the Miami Heat or some of these other teams. I'm not ready to hand the East to
Fine. Speaking of the Sixers, and I should note, none of you picked tonight's game, so that's a mute. We'll move on. Speaking of the Sixers, their first home loss last night, Heat 108, Philly 104. Man, there's been some great matchups this week. Remember that when you're watching Pelicans on Christmas, Woody Page. How Miami went into Philly, shut it down like they did with the zone. Whoever called them the Spobots first. I love that. And, yes, Philly's first loss at home this year. Israel, what did Miami show you? What did you see from Philly?
Well, Miami showed a lot of what they've showed all season. They seem to be a very connected team, and whether that has to be with Jimmy Butler, Eric Spoelstra, just the pieces, who knows? But defensively in particular, whether they're playing the zone that they played last night or man-to-man coverages, at other times they seem to cover for each other so well. Jimmy Butler is kind of like the designated gambler, if you will, and other guys just read off of him and play off of him, and it seems like they're on a string constantly. And you saw when they started heating up offensively and they throw that zone, Joel Embiid was a little flummoxed, if you will, and they just slowed them down for long enough to go ahead and get that road victory. They're just a very well-connected team. They complement each other very well on both sides of the floor, and they showed you some of their best stuff yesterday, and that's without Goran Dragic, their key contributor off the bench.
Woody Page?
As we recently talked about, an NFL game where the 49ers had a good loss, I am going to say the Heat, I think, were energized by a good loss against the Lakers. And they went on the road, and they came up with the best game plan against the 76ers of playing the zone, 40% of the game, 39 possessions. And what happened is Embiid, who was encouraged by a couple of former players on another network, to play better, and he had 22 points, 19 rebounds, but it was very quiet. He was, about 6 from 18 from the field? I think they did a very effective job that's going to be the architectural blueprint for everybody else playing against, Simmons is never going to shoot a three-pointer. Embiid's not good from the three-point line, so you do zone up against them, and I think it will be effective
Embiid
down
was
the line.
8 of 19 for the game, Woody. Jackie Mack, was it more about what Miami did, or are you going to focus on Philly here?
No, I think you do have to focus. Well, you have to focus on what Miami did to Philly. So I guess I'm answering your question in both regards. And the zone is the blueprint. You could say that. But it's not like the Sixers didn't know they were going to do it. Joel Embiid talked extensively after the game. Hey, coach showed it to us. We knew exactly what they were going to do. And all it really requires is you can attack the paint when someone plays a zone. You can still do that with a big man like Embiid. But in doing so, you have to be patient. And I didn't think the Sixers looked very patient in the shot selection that they had. And that's why they shot so poorly from the three-point line.
Glenn Yates.
In this particular situation, to your point, Jackie, they knew it was coming. So I don't know that it's the blueprint, the zone, but in this particular occasion, they turned the key and opened the lock. And that is credit I will certainly give to the Miami Heat. That loss that Woody referred to the Lakers was incredible. And this is officially a good team. Bam's the hoss. My man Tyler Hero is a contributor. It showed me a lot, man.
Israel, you wanted to add something? I saw that little finger point up.
Yeah, they might have shown teams what they can do, but not everybody can do that because you got to look at this personnel. Jimmy Butler, obviously a great defender. Derrick Jones Jr., with his length and athleticism, can play any spot in the zone. Bam Adebayo is one of the most versatile, athletic, big men defenders there is. So you can't just throw any team and say, hey, play a zone, you'll beat the Sixers.
Woody, you had two fingers, but Jackie was going, she was waving everything off, so I don't know what...
Because Israel is so right. Bam Adebayo is, to me, the best part.
Clinton said it first.
But Bam Adebayo can guard anybody one through five. There are very few players that can.
All right. And Woody, the last word, Woody. You get the last word.
Bucks win tonight.
Oh, thank you very much. You see? Okay. There we go. One more thing from last night's NBA. The Thunder putting together back-to-back 20-point come-from-behind wins. The Grizzlies last night, they did it to the Bulls earlier in the week. Jackie, does that strike you as a good thing that you're coming back? Or maybe not so great because they've been down by 20-plus in multiple games against not such great competition.
Well, this will drive a coach crazy. Of course, you don't want to be down by that much, but the fact that you can come back and win tells me that they're settling in. Chris Paul, after maybe an uneven start, has definitely settled with OKC. And Schroeder, the typical Schroeder line, 31 points, 7 turnovers. Raise your hand if you've seen it before.
Clint Yates? Just say it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give a lot of credit to the Thunder here. You got two wins. The expectation for this team before the season started was not that great. So anything you're getting from a victory level is a bonus in the black. And look at their place on the table right now. I am definitely impressed.
Let's see if Israel says the same thing Clinton just said and gets all the credit for it. Go ahead, Israel.
Well, no, I do think, if you look at their place in the standings, as Clinton just said, it seems like they can settle into a 7 or 8 seed. And so when you come back against the Memphises and the Chicagos of the world, you're sort of differentiating yourself from
them, you?
Even though you were
Are you really? All right. And Woody, did OKC convince you in either way?
The glass is a quarter full. Do this against some good teams. Don't do it against the Bulls.
You do it against who you're down 22 is what you do it against. All right.
Yeah, but that is not showing me much when you only play half the game. I don't know why they would be better than a 17.
Since we just talked about OKC and we talked about Chris Paul, you're not tucked in right now, Clinton Yates. Tuck it right now. Tuck that in. Let's go. Buy or sell on the other side.
I don't live a tuck life.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
That's a shame that there's no shame anymore. Jaguars firing Tom Coughlin. This is in the midst of the NFLPA doing something. I mean, have you ever seen this? Warning players from signing with a franchise. More than 25% of all grievances in the league's last 2 years allegedly coming from players citing the Jaguars. On the field, 10-20 in the last 2 years as well. Woody, I'm afraid to ask you about Jacksonville in any way because I believe you were banned from that fair city at some point in your career. But what do you buy, what do you sell, Jacksonville?
I have turned it around. My favorite city, Jacksonville, good. I feel badly for them. They were 10-6 and they brought in all those great defensive players, and then they've fallen apart. He's still at only 73 years old. Coughlin's a young man, but I think he's untouchable because of that letter from the NFLPA, because 25% of the grievances against teams this year have been against Jacksonville. They're in a mess there, and it's chaotic.
Israel Gutierrez?
Yeah, the damage has been done, my friend. He has done more probably bad for that franchise than even building that Super Bowl contender that he built a couple years ago. You had to move on from him. You had players that are obviously agreeing that he was over-penalizing and everything else. It's just it's a bad situation for them, but they can move on from this, it appears, because everything seemed to be tied to Coughlin and the way he ran the organization.
Clint Yates?
Yeah, I'm buying it. It doesn't matter why. If players don't like the guy running the team, that's a problem in the NFL. Add on to that the fact that they're not as successful on the field as they once were, and it works out for Coughlin. He can go back to working in the NFL office. It's cool. He was doing that before.
Jackie McMullen?
Yeah, you know, people always say, oh, the NBA is a players' league and the NFL isn't. Well, I think the players had their say in this particular case. I don't take any great joy in watching this happen to Tom Coughlin. I've known him a long time. He's an old-school football coach that with the New World players, it doesn't mesh.
I mean, the second that release comes out where the Players Association is telling players don't sign there, woo.
Unprecedented.
Yeah, never
unprecedented.
Heard that. Not great, Bob. We'll move on. Buy or sell to Cam Newton. At his Christmas charity drive, quote, listen, let me tell you something. In order for me to leave, they got to get rid of me, end quote. Israel, buy or sell?
I mean, I'm going to buy that. It takes all the pressure off of him. It is not on him whether or not he stays at Carolina Panther. They've got Will Greer starting next week officially, so they obviously don't know, really are very confident with Kyle Allen here. So it seems like Cam saying, hey, you probably need me, but if you get rid of me, it's not on me.
Glenn Yates?
I'm selling all of this. I don't think he has the social capital to do this at this point with the team. They were all right. They have visualized a scenario in which he's not playing. Talking tough at a charity event, you can just go talk to the team if you really mean it like that. I think he wants out and doesn't want to say it.
So you hear this as talking tough. It should be said again, this was a charity event, and this was a cheering crowd and Panthers fans, clearly. Jackie McMullen, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going to give Cam Newton a pass. It's Christmas time. He's saying to the fans what he thinks they probably want to hear. And he's also saying, this is my life here and I don't want to go. I'm not going to read between the lines. It's Christmas time, Clinton. Ease off, my
Woody
friend.
Page.
Look at my
jingle
sweater.
Bells and all that stuff.
Ed Woodrow.
I agree with Jackie. I mean, what do you expect him to say? Hello, everybody. Happy holidays. I want out of here. I mean, really?
Right,
is
exactly.
That what you're playing here for me? I think that it's not so much about him as it is the team wanting to swallow the $19 million that they'd have to pay him if he comes back next year. So they're going to move him.
Buy or sell 3, USC football, Clay Helton. Excuse me. Clay Helton, yes, that's his name. Quote, very good day. Here's where USC ranked nationally recruiting, 78. Here's where USC ranked in the Pac-12, 12th. There is no 13th, Clinton. Can you say very good day and don't worry about perception? It's just wins and losses when your recruiting rankings are that?
I'm selling all of this. They had a bad day, a bad month, a terrible year. Let's not forget about this school's involvement in the Varsity Blues situation. Carol Folt can't even tweet to other departments in the school without people bombarding her about football talk. You didn't have Clay Helton in a timely manner. That's why the kids didn't want to go. It's a super mess at USC.
Jackie Mack?
Well, since we like reading between the lines and what people say, I think when you say we had a very good day on the most important day of the year, if you don't say we've had an unbelievable, outstanding day, it means you've had a crappy day. And it's not all entirely his fault because they kept him on as a lame duck coach. You want to kill recruiting? Keep a guy on as a lame duck coach.
Woody Page?
Well, how do you get up and say, this is like Cam Newton, how do you get up and say we had a bad day because we were ranked along with Troy, North Texas State, and Bowling Green? He should bring them in and schedule them. Mike Bone made a mistake, and Clay Helton's not going to be there much longer.
Israel Gutierrez.
His best defense is that it's a small class, but we all saw this coming. We knew they were ranked low in the recruiting rankings, and this is just Clay Helton sitting there having to eat it because he's sitting there as still the face of the organization when he shouldn't have been. They should have gotten rid of him already.
I don't care what the score says, Israel, Clinton, I think you had a very good day, and I mean that.
Huge day.
But you're not going to be in showdown right now, and I believe if I looked at tomorrow's schedule, this is the last show of the year for you. I would like to say happy holidays. And let me be the first to tell you, Israel Gutierrez, happy new year. He hates that. He hates that so much.
Love your sweater.
All right, Woody Page, Jackie McMullen, how today will end in showdown. Next.
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
67 times before we have had a matchup of Woody Page and Jackie McMullen showdown. The all-time head-to-head, Jackie 35, Woody 32. So good luck in showdown. Maybe you can split the difference here, Woody Page. Jim Boeheim, after a win last night. Let's take a listen.
You know, I had this cheer trying to get somebody to make some noise. It's sad. It's sickening, really.
Was the crowd last night at the Carrier Dome sickening, Woody Page?
Well, Jim needs to turn his ire toward the fact that there were really only about 6,000 people there. There weren't 16,000. They didn't have enough people to make a noise. And he's got to remember, it's holidays. The school students are gone, and yeah, the weather's bad.
Exactly.
Well, not only that, Woody. There was a pretty big snowstorm. There were snow squalls in Syracuse. I think for Jim, this is, you know, I had to look it up because I wanted to see. Syracuse is unranked. This is just different territory for all of us who remember the days when you used to hide under the table as they stormed the court when they won games. I was there many times and I had to sit under the table to avoid.
Is this
the
sickening? This is not sickening.
No,
that they had the announcement. Sickening is the announced attendance was 16,000, as Woody Page said. That was not 16,000 in that video. We'll move on. Showdown 2, Ronaldo's goal yesterday. This was incredible. Here it is full speed. And here it is in slow-mo. Jackie, what is the best part?
Seriously? Of course it's the vertical leap. I'm mesmerized by this. And you know me, I don't even really like soccer that much. But I could watch this over and over again. He's practically over his head. It almost looks like he could have jumped over that player. Amazing.
Jackie, it was the expression. He knew exactly what he was doing and what he was going to get from it. And will that make a great Sports Illustrated photo of the year? I think so. And the two guys that were watching him were just mesmerized.
Mm-hmm. Woody Page, let's see.
Like
let's look at your expression, Woody Page, because you know exactly what's going to happen right now. You're getting the W and the 30 seconds of FaceTime. That's the expression I was looking for.
Yeah. Last show of the year, everybody. I'll hope to see you next year. But let me talk for a moment about how fruitcake needs a new PR agency. It's the most unappreciated dessert item during the holiday. It's got all the things you want, the three important things. It's got fruit, it's got cake, it's got nuts. It's in a block, and people just take it and they re-gift it and give it to somebody at the office. Appreciate fruitcake. I went out and bought one yesterday, and I tasted it for the first time in 12 years, and I went, you know, we need to get back to fruitcake. Happy New Year.
Okay, Woody, you giving that fruitcake?
Fruitcake appreciation from our Woody Page.